La elección china de personas que presentan al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una elección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, de Nijir Jilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a una atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
Amoy. I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some...
And coming your way next on the Huff Archives, or perhaps if you're listening to the original Thursday night, July 28th show, it's the Net Show. This is going to be about 2 hours long, as usual, unless I get extended or get really tired. And it's... features some interviews from the Beachlands, from the Benchlands that we did, gosh, it was last Monday, as we attempted to figure out what people there were experiencing, what they're being told by police, what's the supposed deadline, if there was a deadline, for moving out, as City Mangler Matt Huffaker has so told folks, or told the City Council and the community, is what he is aiming for, and that should be, well, rumors were spreading that it was going to be July 30th or August 1st or July 31st or whenever. We didn't find any testimony or alarm about that, although we didn't do a really voluminous survey. So we actually just set up a table, gave out some flyers, advised people as to what to say and do. I'll be talking about that, and you'll actually be hearing some of the interviews on the show, as well as other stuff yet to be concocted. So stay with me.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So today's show is going to be kind of a Benchland special with lots of interviews from the 2 days I went down there. Today, the 28th of July, 2022, and then Monday, which I guess was the 24th, no, the 23rd, when two Huffsters and I, Gloria and Kevin, went down to set up a table to distribute flyers, to sign people up who might be interested in challenging any unlawful orders to move with the anticipated clearing of the Benchlands, which City Mangler Matt Huffaker has threatened at the end of the summer, or maybe at the end of July, and one can never be sure what the hell is going on. And also to get some sense of what's going on down in the Benchlands generally for folks living down there. And this sort of is where we start. We set up a table. You're going to hear right at the very edge of the Benchlands, or in the very sort of entrance of the Benchlands from Water Street, when you walk down from Water Street, which is between the San Lorenzo River and the county building, the entire Benchlands, of course. And it's, you'll hear me describing it. You'll hear other people talking about it. It's been seriously compacted and is, at least when I was down there on Monday, although they've begun demolishing camps, they removed several camps today, Thursday the 28th, over the objections of the campers who were living there, just telling them to move, not giving them a place to go, according to the campers. I haven't had a chance to chat with any officials or with Jeremy Leonard, who kind of was looking on, at least through some of the incident, I understand, but perhaps I'll get a report from him. He's relatively closed-mouthed about this, doesn't like publicity around this issue, afraid he's going to be misquoted or criticized. I certainly level a lot of criticism for the authorities he represents or he tends to act for or gets paid for. But I also try to moderate my criticism with respect to him, although I'm not the moderate kind of guy as far as talking. You can't have a moderate, true situation that's either true or it's false. Anyway, let's listen in on some of the Monday interviews and some of my monologue in there. So it's... It's about 10 after 10 on July 25th. There are two CSOs and three cops and Jeremy Leonard in the campground. And so it's not the 23rd, it's the 25th. Sorry about that. In the benchlands, I'm here setting up a table to offer literature and petitions. And we actually didn't get the petition out, but we did get kind of a sign-up list of people who might want to be plaintiffs in a lawsuit defending their right to be in the benchlands until such time as they have been given a decent place to live elsewhere, even an indecent place, at least secure from police harassment. And we will launch now into our first interview.
We're talking with...
Hi, my name is Carrie.
Are you a resident of this area?
Unfortunately, yes.
And how long have you been here, Carrie? And account for yourself, please.
Okay, I've been here since December 7th, 2020.
Wow.
And it's now July 29th.
Did you relocate from the upper grounds to the lower grounds?
Yes, I did.
And you were protected originally by the initial injunction, which was gotten a week after
that.
Oh,
yes. Yes, I remember that, yep.
And then the injunction was dissolved the next year in the summer. That was last year. And the city has left the campground kind of alone. But there
not really.
Every single
day up on the bicycle, there are police that come and kind of try to intimidate the people here. I mean, for a good reason, I suppose, because there is a lot of activity down here that goes unnoticed that should be brought to the attention of the authorities. You know, and realistically, a lot of the time when people do keep to themselves and kind of, you know, abide by some of the laws, they don't have a reason to come down here and poke around.
Well, I did see five cops patrol. There aren't five cops. We can see them right now. They've been here for an hour standing in the middle. And they don't seem to be doing much. Kevin, you were closer to that. Did you
see
them?
Yes, I asked. I said, so what's the rumor has it there's going to be a sweep through here with bulldozers and skip loaders and, you know, knocking stuff down. And no one would say anything. I said, I asked to myself, it's above your pay grade.
Now, did you see any bulldozers and skip loaders?
My pay grade, huh?
Did you see any of these today?
No.
Stop the sweeps!
Yeah, it's not. The rumors fly, and everyone's got a different date. The place is going to be demolished. Everyone.
And I want to hear more about that too. But let me. Yeah. This potential lawsuit person who's interested. Of course she is. She's younger. She's more attractive.
Exactly.
She's a resident.
Yeah. That's the biggest. It's you on the ground here.
Yeah. So I've been 10 toes in since a lot of this started, unfortunately.
How has it changed since you began?
It actually, I think if anything, it's kind of actually gotten worse. I think the people here since the beginning when it first started to help us here, that we were all given the same amount of space. They had allocated the same amount of space for each of us. They had given us all the same tent, so there was no fighting, and there was no boasting, and there was no show and tell as to who could get a better tent or who had more money and who this and that. But it was so that we were all given the same
But that didn't last long.
Unfortunately, it didn't. But I actually found it quite peaceful. You know, but we, back then, we were on different... We were on quarantine orders from the government. We were on a mandatory quarantine, self-isolation kind of protocol down here. We were asked to stay in our tent, our one-person tent, and to remain in our space that they gave us. And, you know, that actually worked for quite some time. Because then there was no real reason to fight over, oh, well, your space is bigger than mine, or your tent looks better than mine.
Looking at the last 3 months, how would you compare, how has it been going for you the last 3 months?
Personally, for me, I don't know. I've had to kind of stand my ground. You know, I feel like I've been tempted, like there have been temptations in my past that have definitely led me away from where I've been.
Drugs or something?
No, I mean, like, literally on the grounds of where my possessions are and my belongings. Like, I feel like there have been many attempts to get me to leave my things so that, or my place, so that somebody else could come in and take advantage of all the hard work that I put into my particular space. And, you know, or somebody's, you know, just kind of conning me out of some things that are quite valuable or sentimental, and or just others just taking whatever they want, you
know? This is more prevalent in the last 3 months than...
Oh, yeah. It is. It's been recent, more recent.
Now, there's been an influx of people in the last 3 months.
There has. There's been a huge fluctuation. There are tons more people down here within the last week, the last 7 days. They've managed to put more people in a closer, smaller, tighter spot, you know what I mean? Like, we're being caged.
Have you formed connections with your neighbors in the camp that have enhanced your security or your community in any way?
Honestly, I mean, since the very beginning, the area that I've been at since I moved down here to the benchlands, I've been here before that. They had evacuated us during the winter over to the parking garage across the street, and then from there over to Depot Park. And then other people have been moved to River Street and, you know, kind of all over the place. But I've kind of tried to stay back where I originally started back down here. And
are you in the same location you were when you moved from the upper park to the lower park?
Yeah, essentially, yes. I'm within the same radius, the same 50-yard radius of where I originally started.
Are you a single woman living alone, or do you have a companion?
No, I'm a single woman living alone, and I'm surrounded by men.
And friendly men, hostile men?
There's a couple hostile, jealous type men.
Lascivious men?
Quite jealous, I would say.
Of your possessions or of your body?
Well, yeah, they have this lifestyle, the image of the lifestyle of the rich and the famous, where they can feel that they have entitlement to tell me what I can and can't do with my body, or who I can and can't have around my body. So I was like...
And your reaction to that is to whip out your judo and tell them to fuck off?
Pretty much. Pretty much, yeah, that's about it. You hit the nail on the head with that one.
You're successful with this?
No, unfortunately I'm not.
But you're going to become successful.
I need well-versed lessons to do this. I believe that...
Perhaps an M1 would be helpful.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would definitely be nice. It would be a little bit of encouragement.
Here's a couple that signed up for the lawsuit, or what he did on the buffer. So I'm interested. I'm kind of gathering a few names for a potential, if the Union of the Homeless, which I'm not too active in, but I'm always barking at the heels, they did this injunction, as you know, before. Anthony Prince put it together, but they haven't done anything since.
Yeah.
I guess a cease and desist order is what Alicia Poole tried to get. Requested it, or I guess they sent it to the city manager or the city attorney, I'm not sure. But that doesn't have any legal force. It hasn't gone to court. I don't know if it has legal force or not, actually. But the idea of actually getting enough people who are interested in being plaintiffs to say, we don't want to move unless we have a decent place to go to, stop threatening us, maybe give us, as you say, decent space and so forth. Are you interested in that?
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I kind of started my venture here at the San Lorenzo Benchlands with the intention that I actually was trying to relocate and start over, you know. So I've never had to camp out at a park to have shelter provided for me, you know. I think that a lot of my personal relationships have been put back into question just because the willingness of the member or the relative or the loved one that still questions why I choose this lifestyle for myself, you know, because I don't know that answer, unfortunately. There's connection here that I just can't sever. It's not necessarily freer. I feel a more earthly connection here. It's quite strange how I can't exactly quite put my thumb on it because it's not exactly a thumbnail that you could just have way with.
But it is a definite force.
There's an earthly force that I have a connection with here that I'm not willing to sever quite yet.
And is that connected with any of the people here?
It could very well be. It could very well be a community lost in translation and years of historical revenue. I don't know. It could be a lot of different things. It could be a lot of different inputs into how other people would feel an earthly connection to the people here.
Any hassles with the police or authorities here?
Personally, thank God I haven't really had any personal issues that I've needed to have any kind of authority contact or police contact. Not on my behalf, anyway.
What's the status of women in this camp? You've already mentioned your own personal struggle, but
yeah.
Do you have any broader comments about other women you know here?
About other broads? A broad comment about the broads in the spectrum here, we would say. You know, the women here are very vicious, okay? We are very vicious.
Forceful?
No, not forceful. I would not be able to say force. We are forced to be reckoned with, yes, but I do believe that the women here are ferocious and we are vicious. We have to be because
are
we're
united?
Constantly... Unfortunately, I do believe that there are one too many young lads or young girls that think to test the waters with some of the older, experienced females because they have nothing else better to do. You know, if you go and sleep with one of these women's man, you're going to find out about it, and you're going to find out about it the hard way because you're stupid enough not to have known that yourself. You know, so if you go and make that mistake, then you know it's a mistake. You either know or you don't know. You know.
There's a lot of monogamy here.
There's a lot of polyamory here as well. So it's kind of hard to tell because sometimes the men, they choose to be cowards and not tell this young gal that just happened to come through and they have nothing else better to do. Oh yeah, you need a cigarette? Oh, let me help you. And then here comes the wife out and what the fuck are you talking to this bitch for? What the hell's wrong with you?
It's playing
and
around.
Then she,
it's not really consensual polyamory.
No, not necessarily. It's not, we're not, what is that word?
Yeah, exactly.
We are not full of polyamorous, in agreement polyamorous compound.
Not a group marriage or consensual pseudo marriage or whatever.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, again, like I said, it's something about a lifestyle choice. A lot of the men around here seem to have this impression that it's not a religious practice that they can stay atoned with having more than one woman to entertain their thoughts or their pocketbook or their means of entertainment.
They need variety. We need variety, man. I mean, woman, you know that.
Needing a variety and actually having a various amount of visual aid can be different than actually having the entertainment being something physical to be sufficed with. You know, you can entertain yourself with a variety that you see, but that you behind closed doors in privacy you enjoy with your partner. You know, like I think that that's how life is supposed
How's
to be.
How's the illness in the camp? Have you been?
I think it's very, very real. I think that people are very irresponsible.
Hey,
I think that they don't express enough concern about the people around them because they dispose of their needles wherever. The couple people down the way maybe yelling for Narcan and people are like, shut the fuck up, you know, or you hear people fighting every single day over the same thing, and when you can't see the adult remove themselves from the situation, you see them go at it all the time. And it's like, yeah, you gotta stand your ground at some point, and maybe instead of it constantly being revisited as an idea that you have to constantly feel like you're repeating yourself, like over and over and over and over, and there's no compromise, there's no compromise, there's nothing, there's just more fighting.
I see a bunch of police standing halfway through the camp.
Is that
a regular occurrence? And if so, what's
no, that's not a regular occurrence. Not something that I witnessed anyway. That I typically stick to myself. I stay in my area, and I don't really come out here very often. I don't think I've ever sat at the helm of the lane down here and just looked down the bench lane.
You're always
where it used to be. I appreciate your invitation. I do. I know. I remember when the grass was too high, you couldn't even ride your bike through here. And now you can see straight through right down yonder and see farther and farther.
It's a dusty situation, for sure.
It could be.
Are there
are sharps disposals. There are, you know, and that's a crying shame, to be perfectly honest with you, that they would feel the need to put one next to a children's playground, maybe near a public bathroom. That would be suffice. A children's playground, that says something. I've never seen that in my entire life, and that breaks my heart, because, you know, you think about maybe some of these children that have type 2 gestational diabetes, and they need the insulin, and you've got a sharps disposal next to children's playground. Like, really? Is that the reason why it's there? Or is, no, that's not the reason why it's there, but that's why I have to bring the question that, you know, bring that question to the table and really answer that for myself.
Before you get called away, the original reason I asked you, aside from the interview, is you want me to take your information so I can contact you in the event that we actually get somebody.
Find some news? Sure. I would love that. I would love that. Yeah.
Let me turn this sucker off and write down the name.
Yeah, there's Carrie. Here. I'll get you.
Print it out. Pretend that I can't read. I'm 3 years old. And phone number or email or tent where we can reach you.
Oh, okay.
And location. How do we know it's a C2 tent?
Well, that's just my area. So, okay, you see where the red spot is on top of the white tarp right there under the tree?
On the white tarp.
Red spot up top on the roof.
Red spot. And we finally did get Carrie's name right and signed her up, although I don't think she has a phone, so we may have to locate her by tent. And since there is concern among the campers and some evidence today of the tents beginning to be removed between the entranceway to the campground at Water Street and the first stairway going down from the courthouse, her tent may be hard to find, or it may be demolished or moved by the time we get back to her. If the Union of the Homeless and the ACLU ever get around to filing an injunction to stop the demolition of tents that's going on now, piecemeal, peck by peck. Anyway, here's some more from the Monday tabling. So you're about to hear an old song, an old folk song, from the Weavers, or at least sung by the Weavers, called Tsena, Tsena, Tsena. And I'm going to let you know in advance the lyrics, since they're all in, I think it's either Hebrew or Yiddish. Tsena, 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 can't you hear the music playing in the city square? Tsena, 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 come where all our friends will find us with the dancers there. Tsena, Tsena, join the celebration. There'll be people there from every nation. Dawn will find us laughing in the sunlight, dancing in the city square. Tsena, Tsena, come and dance the hora. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the boys will envy me, for Tsena, Tsena, when the band is playing, my heart's saying, Tsena, Tsena, Tsena. Tsena, 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 can you hear the music playing in the city square? Tsena, 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 come where all our friends will find us with all the dancers there. And there's a repeat of that chorus, and then another repeat of that chorus, and a third repeat of that chorus. I think it looks like a fourth repeat. And finally, Tsena, Tsena, come and dance the hora. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the boys will envy me, for Tsena, Tsena, when the band is playing, my heart, Tsena, Tsena, Tsena.
It's around 10:30. I'm talking with
Thomas Pierce.
And Thomas, your name is suddenly familiar. Right on. So you've signed up for a potential, if we can ever get anything going, a lawsuit. You live in the camp, and you have some concerns about, well, some history, too. What's going on?
Well, basically, when it first started off, I was on parole. I just got released from prison, and they placed me in the shelter. I immediately got a job.
Which shelter?
At the homeless shelter down here in Cornwall.
What was that?
It was okay. It was all right. It wasn't no complaints. It was a place to stay, you know, stay where I could sleep and get my rest and everything for work. And then from there, they sent me to a clean and sober living place residence. And then from there, I moved maybe a month and a half later, that I moved as an in-care home provider. Uh-huh. And I was there on 7th Avenue. You know, at the time, I had sued the sheriff department, and I won.
What did you win?
They settled out of court.
And what kind of settlement?
It was like $15,000, some close to there.
And you immediately bought a condo and moved into Sacramento.
I wish I could have. But no. What they did was the sheriff department, they retaliated. By the very next day, I got my money one day. The very next day, they, bam, kicked in my door.
I think we talked about, go ahead, tell me more about this.
About it.
Remind me.
But to make a long story short, basically they have been harassing me. I've lost 7 cars. Every time I obtain a car from a used car place, of course, or a junkyard, you know, one of them out of places, it'd be either living or the police would constantly harass me. I'd be unable to even really get it clear. They just took my Honda.
Now, we should say you're a man with dreads and a dark skin.
Yes. Yes. I'm German and black. I'm married to my wife, Christine, and Christine Parrish. You know, she's been having a rough time just being with me here. She's had a rough time overall, period. She's now all of a sudden has possessions. She has paraphernalia. And basically, it was all mine. It was me. I got so depressed and everything, and I started indulging. I finally stopped. But 2 cases later, they tell me, well, you know, you got 2 cases now. So, yeah, but I discharged parole. When I was on parole, my parole officer placed me into tent cities. At that time, they called them tent vouchers. They said that the tent vouchers would eventually change into a housing voucher. That was 3 years ago. I discharged parole. We're going on year 4, and I'm still stuck here. So yeah, they have a real problem with it. They have more money and everything to, what's more important? Is it the people or is it the pavement on the streets? They're paving, you know, the roads and everything, and which some places do deserve it. Some places need to have their streets fixed. They only got potholes and everything like that, and it's a danger itself, even for kids riding bicycles or whatnot. But, yeah, they're putting funding in all of the places but the homeless. They're not doing nothing about it, and they could care less. They believe in that, well, if you can't afford to live here, then leave.
How are conditions in the benchlands?
Oh, wow. They're rough.
Tell me about them. Have they changed at all? Or?
No, they haven't changed. I mean, you know, only changes are made is with the homeless themselves when they make the changes to provide some type of comfort for themselves, if nothing more. But other than that, it's cold. You have rats galore. The rats now they're getting so big and they're so fat as to where they're actually starting to run and start charging towards people. So in retaliation, you know, homeless is doing what they're doing and they're getting the pellet guns and they're trying to kill the rats. And now it's a little war between pellet guns and rats.
And have a rat barbecue, perhaps?
Oh, my God.
Make sure you don't mistake the police for the rats.
Yeah, but you know what? They need to do a whole bunch. They're doing everything it is to curb any growth. There's nothing that helps one to promote growth, you know, to stop the drug abuse. And then from there, you know, getting the people together. Really, the city needs to get people together so that way they can start hiring some of these people. If they get together and they self-own businesses, hire some of these people. And as far as the housing goes, the landlord, they want to put inside the papers and everything, the realtors and everything, not accepting housing vouchers at this time, or not accepting housing vouchers.
Do you have a housing voucher yourself?
Supposedly, my wife is supposedly have one. We're still waiting for an advocate to come that's supposed to be our caseworkers and to help us find a place and everything. And that was last year when she obtained that. So we've been waiting for somebody, whoever's supposed to contact us. And she's been speaking to Alejandro and a few people that's down there at the Housing Matters. But it's like, you know, they've hindered, you know, us even more. The COVID-19, you know, that even hindered us.
Has there been much COVID here in the camp?
No, not that I've heard of. The only thing I've heard of, if anything, the people ODing on fentanyl.
And what percentage of the camp would you say is having problems with hard drugs?
From beginning to end. From the beginning to the end.
So you think it's the majority of folks, or?
Well, majority of everybody uses, it seems. And it's real difficult for those that do not use. You have to understand that, you know, you have a place where you have violence, you know, and it's due to the withdrawals of drugs that they can no longer afford or have because their money is gone and there's the addiction, and it causes them to act violent or causes them to start stuff with other residents. And then, of course, that's disturbing, you know, the other residents.
And how have you and your neighbors gotten along in your particular section of the camp?
Oh, they stay clear away from me. It would get loud, and I would ask them. I say, hey, man, you know, look, man, allow some of these people to sleep. There's a few people that scattered around that do have jobs or whatever.
Do they respond?
They usually shut it down. So I have a history myself, you know, and I don't know. I help things, you know, to better itself. That's basically what I do. I try to keep the peace and whatnot, and I'm just a person that, you know, is surviving just like everybody else. I'm just trying to move from stages. You know, I'm not content with living in a tent. I don't need to have my wife live in a tent. Her mother and father is already, you know, mad because it's been 3 years and we don't have a place of residence yet. And, you know, they're Ukrainian. You know, my wife, she's Ukrainian. And
thinking of joining the Ukrainian army or...
Their type of army, yes, I believe in that. I believe in revolution. I believe in it strongly because I'm deemed a political prisoner, you know, and everything that they've had on me from the beginning to end, they orchestrated basically my whole so-called prison career, you know.
How long have you actually been in the actual benchlands?
Been where now?
How many months have you been in the benchlands? How many years?
Oh, well, this round right here, since I paroled, 2018, is when I parole and then I discharge, you know, in 21.
So you came to the bench lands in 2021?
Yeah.
Has it changed much?
No, it's just got larger, bigger, more people coming. So they want to protect themselves, you know, and they say that this right here is deemed to look as an eyesore for the tourists. And, you know, you have to understand that, you know, this is two summers that they didn't have no tourists, so they couldn't open up because of the COVID. This is the third summer right here. They finally get to open up, and they want to clear the streets of all the misfits, all the people that they don't feel should be walking around. They're tourists, you know. They want to clean up like that so they can, you know, obtain all the money that's so important to them. That is just, it's a shame. You know, it's already a tourist place. They already excel when it comes to the money. You have the wars, you know, saying D-League down here. And, you know, you have the Santa Cruz Beach and Boardwalk, and people come through this place from all over the world, but every summer. And every summer, though, some people like it and they stay. And then they find out that they can't go home and they're stuck. And they become one of the residents of the homeless community. And, yeah.
So I heard there was a fire incident a couple of nights ago. Do you have any information on that?
The tank, he was utilizing the tank so to keep warm, and it blew up.
Somebody got caught on fire and it injured the person. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure. I couldn't actually say.
I don't know either, so don't take my word for it. What about the... You have any of the police or Jeremy Leonard, you know, the guy who's hired by the city to look after or look into the camp? I'm not sure exactly what that would be involved with. Have they told you they want to? They're going to be moving people out soon.
They've been trying to move people out. And what they did was they want to split everything up in sections. First, they moved people to Highway 9. Now that's filled up, so they started moving people to the Armory. Jeremy basically kind of runs that. Him and Chris do walk the camp from beginning to end. I would have to say that, you know, they're doing their jobs as far as making sure everything's all right, getting whatever information they can get from people. And then after that, you know, it's like that being done, they're satisfied with, you know, the majority of things. The other complaints are something they can't really, you know, just stop or whatnot. But I think that they're kind of just
stop
doing what they're told, you know. They sweep them bad, you know. And it's real sad because the Armory night right now is about filled up, and they won't be able to fit no more people. And you figure from here all the way down to the last end, they want to crowd everybody and put everybody from this bridge right here that you can see to right here where we're at. So basically, you know, you want all those other tents to cram inside here. And, you know, I'm going to have to say, too, people got bigger size tents than the average what they're given. Because you're given, you know, a small tent, but for two people, it's like outrageous. So it's like you can't in this heat and this summertime coming. So, you know, you want to try to cool off. You want to try to expand. So they expand their tents and they use tarps and whatnot to expand it. But it's so more space. It has more of a home feel to it. I mean, they're getting anything that they can get for free or that's laying around, couches, you know, beds, you know, so they can sleep comfortably and they don't have to worry about rats running on top of them at nighttime. It's getting real, real, real bad here, especially with, you know, all the...
How's mutual theft as a problem, and how have you dealt with it, if it's affected you?
Oh, it affected me. They went into my tent and stole some stuff. You know, if you don't have nobody watching your tent, then there's people that's brave enough and daring enough to go inside those tents and steal what they sell. We just got married. And they took our marriage, the file that had our marriage certificate and everything in it, and important files and stuff. So, I mean, you know, right now, me and my lady's looking at becoming victims of IDF, you know.
ID theft.
You know, and so, you know, just to tighten up and just do whatever it is that we can, you know, survive it. I just wish that they would start actually housing the people.
Now, you'd like to, you've had me sign your name up for this idea for a lawsuit, which, as I've told you, I'm not in any way qualified to or prepared to initiate. But other encampments and other places in California and, in, as you know, in Santa Cruz have gotten injunctions. You were telling me about it when we started talking. The injunction that they got for this campground expired in July of last year, but the city decided, I presume, it didn't know what the fuck to do, so they left people here. And, of course, now they started shoving everybody into this area from all the other encampments throughout the city. But I'm a concern because I've heard different rumors, although I've got no indication of a date, that they're trying, that there's a plan to eliminate this encampment, mainly because the city manager, Matt Huffaker, has stated before city council that he intends to have the encampment, he calls it, demobilized by the end of the summer. But he also states this will depend upon conditions, so he has all these caveats. What's your sense about how likely it is that the city is going to move, and how much concern is it to you? I'm going to throw three questions at you. And also, are you interested in this idea of a lawsuit?
Well, something needs to be done, because the city council, they're deflecting any form of rebuttal. I guess maybe they have the individuals that's not really speaking on the primary issues that's at hand. But if they were to get together, the only thing that's going to make this work is for them to get together to have sign-ups for people that, once they're in place and they get started, do one procedure or another. Those you're willing to clean up, and they go through a dry-out period, get cleaned up, that they're immediately housed in some form of shelter. And from that shelter, they get an opportunity now to stay well-groomed, eat, sleep. Now they can go out look for jobs. If these people start hiring some of these people and they come together as a whole, then that's going to save a lot, because a lot of these people are willing to work. You know, where you have, you know, the majority that doesn't want to, you have a good, healthy group of people that would like to work. If they're given the job and then being able to have a place to stay, that's going to not only house them homeless people, you know, now they're on the right track, because they're able to, now they know the need of working and then having coming home to a place.
We got
to live.
You. What, from your contacts with police, social service workers, other campers, and just your general sense, what are the chances of this camp being left alone through the fall, and what are the chances that people are going to face eviction at the end of the summer?
I do believe that they're going to try to do something to actually get the people out, but the injunction is what it is. They're unable to kick anybody up out of here if they do not have a place to put them, and that means all the homeless, not just one people. You know, if they want to get to airport, like they were saying, in Watsonville, and house everybody there in that encampment right there and make it an encampment, then that's something different, because that's moving everybody up out of here and moving them all to another place. They can do that. But if they don't do nothing like that broad, then this place is going to stay. At the end of the month, it's going to start getting cold. You're going to have the weather, you know, and it's just going to get worse. And they're not doing nothing to house the homeless, period.
Is there a need, if what you say is true, although this is, I would say, not the place I'd like to live in, and probably you neither if you had any choices here. but still, it's a place to go where presumably you get a small amount of privacy some of the time, and you also have a place to keep your stuff so you don't have to carry it around with you all the time. Is it likely, do you think, that they're going to try to remove this encampment? I guess you're saying no because of Boise versus Martin. But you may also know, or maybe you don't.
Of course. It's going to show up. They'll eventually just try to get you up out of here, just like they're moving everybody in closer. They came and they moved us from up underneath the bridge. And because of the heat, some of us that, you know what I'm saying, you know, got the heat problems, or they get heat stroke. Of course, and they move you out now into the sun. And
so you were under the bridge recently?
Well, I was up underneath the bridge, and they had us move last week sometime. They made us move.
How long had you been living under the bridge?
Since they started it.
Which was?
Well, I've been here 3 years now.
So, but you were living under the bridge for 3 years?
No, I moved underneath the bridge at the beginning of this year. you know, I knew summer
this
was coming.
A community of how many people would you say were under the bridge?
Oh, at the time, there was like 15 of us, about 15.
And this happened a couple weeks ago. You were getting, no notices were posted?
We got notices. They gave us, they did everything correctly. It was just the people that, you know, you either, you know, got your property and values and you took them and you moved them, or they were going to get bulldozed over, you know, that's going to take it and trash it. And that's what they did.
Was everyone given a spot here, or did you have to kind of find your own spot?
Find your own spot. Jeremy was kind enough that he knew a spot, and he told my wife about it, so she went and got that spot. So, yes, most definitely.
Here's the second one for you, if you want it.
Right now, I have to put some quarters in this meeting, inside this meter. I have to put quarters in there because I've got...
Do it, and let me give you some quarters to put in my meter, too, if you're up for it. All right, and we've been talking with...
Thomas Parrish.
Thanks, Thomas. I'm talking with...
Lauren Buford Stevens IV.
And Lauren, you're outside yourself?
It's pounds for fun, yeah. Pounds for fun. LBS for you.
All right. Sir. You're in the benchlands or elsewhere?
No, sir. I'm up in the mountains, probably on somebody's property. And I try to keep it good. Like, the skunks come in, I feed the skunks. I don't know if that's good or bad for the landowner.
Do they stink back or not?
No, I squirt one time with a water gun, and it looked at me like,
Hell are you doing? Where's your stinky?
Whoa, don't squirt me, and I won't squirt you ever again, I promise. They haven't yet, but I give them like...
How long have you lived there?
Probably like 4 months.
And this is on private property or public?
I don't know. I think it's private.
Have police or deputies attempted to move you?
There's no... Dude, where I live, it's like you got to go up like a hill. You got to go up like this. Yeah, there's no... I mean, I've invited people there. They only come once. And there's only been one couple that showed up twice. Because it's gnarly to get where I'm at, so.
So, why aren't you in a luxury apartment, Lauren?
You know, I got two mayoral awards, one from Texarkana and one from Houston. And sometimes I wanted that myself. Because not many people have mayoral awards.
We got more flyers here, man.
But I'm civic-minded. And that's what I think the civic-minded people are left shorthanded and under everything when you're civic minded, because you know you got to take care of the bottom person before you the higher we get the bottom, the higher the top gets, man. You know, that's how I feel. And like, I'm, let's say I have anger issues, so I'm not a priest, because that's a big no-no with God, his anger. I don't think a priest should drive I don't think a priest or a pastor or anybody should drive a Cadillac before everybody in their congregation is driving a Cadillac.
Dig it. Now, I heard you say something to Jeremy Leonard, who's the kind of...
Yeah, he's a kick-ass guy.
Superintendent fellow, positive, but you also were concerned about... What exactly is your sense of what's missing and what's required?
All I can suggest is... Read or watch Forks Over Knives. It's a documentary, and it's a book too. Read it. It's all by doctors who actually give a shit.